Let's join together in the prayer of illumination. Holy God, open your word. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that our eyes may be enlightened, that we may know the hope to which we have been called. Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our first reading comes from the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, verse 11 through 16. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out of the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back strays. I will bring up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And then from the Gospel according to Matthew, hear these words. For the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him. He will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me. You are cursed into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Let us pray. Dear God, we ask that something unexpected happen as your Spirit moves in our hearts this morning. For we ask that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The passage in Matthew that I just read is familiar to many of us. It's a story of when Christ, sitting on his throne, gathers all the nations to be in front of him and separates the sheep from the goats. He says to the sheep, you know, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me the drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you helped me get better. I was in prison and you came and visited me. Come into the eternal inheritance that you have. And they're astonished. They say, you know, when did we ever do any of that stuff for you? When were you hungry and we fed you? When were you sick and we helped you get better? When were you in prison and we visited you? And he said, whenever you did it to the least of one of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. And then he turns to the goats and he says, hit the bricks. And they're astonished. They're shocked. What happened here? He said, well, I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty. You didn't give me anything to drink. I was in prison. You didn't come to visit me. Well, when did we not do any of those things? He said, whenever you didn't do that to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you didn't do it to me. An appropriate passage for this Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday in the liturgical year, that time when we think about the reign of Christ. The liturgical year begins with Advent and then goes to Christmas, and that's followed by Epiphany. And then there's Ash Wednesday and Lent. And then Passion Sunday or Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter. And that's followed in the summertime by Pentecost Sunday. And then finally, at the end of the year, the liturgical year, is Christ the King Sunday, today. The liturgical year is there so that we pay attention to all of sacred history. To all of the sacred history about Jesus Christ coming into the world so that we don't slight any part of it. It helps us to grow in our faith. It helps us to increase our understanding. It helps us to know how God is leading us to be His ministers in the world, and that's all of us. But today, I don't want to spend so much time on this passage as being about the final judgment. Is I want to look at what we can learn about God as we look at this passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Matthew. And the first thing we learn is about God. We learn that God is here in the messiness of life. That God is not somewhere out there kind of operating things by the remote control. But God is intimately involved in this world, in the messiness of people being hungry and thirsty and sick and in prison and naked. He's involved in that. And what he tells us is that we ought to see God in the face of everybody. Now, we usually or oftentimes say that we see God everywhere. You know, Diane would go to work before the sun came up and call and say, you got to look in the eastern sky. It's a beautiful sunrise today. Some of you have gone to Georgia, the Carolinas, and maybe even further north before it got too cold. To see the leaves and their color and see God's glory. But God is as close as the faces of the people around you. Is in the face of the homeless woman with her children on the street. We can see the face of God in the missionary in jail in a foreign country. In the face of the man convicted of DUI manslaughter, in the sales clerk at the supermarket store, wherever we are, God is intimately involved in this world, in the faces of the people that you run into and I run into. And what we do with them, we do to Jesus Christ. The second thing we learn about is about religion. We don't have to go very far to read in our newspapers or magazines or listen to the news to find out that there are terrible atrocities done by people who are saying, God is great and I love Jesus. It's true of all religions, all radical extremists. We wish it weren't true about Christianity, but we do know it's true. What about those times when churches picketed the funerals of servicemen carrying hateful signs? Clergy abuse. There are lists of people that we don't really welcome into the church because they look different than us or they believe something different than us. There are pastors that are critical of other pastors because of their faith or what they believe. The interesting thing is that none of those things are even on this list in Matthew's gospel. There's nothing said about church practices. There's nothing said about creeds or liturgy or orthodoxy. It's how you lived your life. Saw the face of God in the people who needed help. The third thing we learn is not about politics or economics or anything else. It's more personal. God loves us. God wants all of us, each one of us. God loves us, body, mind, and spirit. God loves everything about us. God's love bubbles up all throughout creation, every day. And that God calls you and I to live out that life. That God freely gave us Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the gift of life to really, really live an authentic, deep down, abundant life. God tells us that love is life. Now, once a year, you and I go, or should go, for a wellness check. May not be what we want to do, but we do it. If heart illnesses run in our family, we want to get it checked out. If you discover a lump somewhere, you want to go to another doctor and have that pursued. If the LDL is higher than you want it to be, you have to make some adjustments in either diet, exercise, or whatever. The doctors want you to be healthy. The insurance companies think that's a good idea, too. They'll even pay for it. This part in Matthew's gospel is a wellness check for our faith and spiritual life. How it is that we respond to the people in need is the diagnostic tool that God is talking about here to help us understand where we are in our journey of faith, what needs our attention, so that we can make, you know, some adjustment. Feeding the hungry, giving a drink to those who are thirsty, helping care for those that are sick, opening the door to a stranger, visiting those who are in prison, whether we're talking about jail or imprisoned in their depression, in their anger, in their frustration, wherever they're imprisoned. A wellness check. Where are we? We go to doctors and we find out where we are physically and weight and so on is all measured. And these are the things that we can measure. For God is a God of love and he has freely given to us. And as the children of God, are we freely giving to other people in need? Are we modeling our life after that which we see in Jesus Christ? If we aren't, then we're not healthy spiritually. Our relationship with God isn't healthy. Our relationship with the people of the world isn't healthy. we need to make some changes. Cynicism creeps up. And cynicism dulls us, so we don't see the face of God in the people that we meet who are needing us. A cynicism kind of changes into the idea that there's really no consequences to not seeing the people, not seeing God's face in people. Nor cynicism is there that we can rely on the times in the past that we did respond appropriately. But this passage of Scripture helps us to ferret that out in our selfishness and to make some changes. The wellness check at the doctor's office gives you and me the opportunity to make changes. The wellness check for our spiritual lives gives us the opportunity to see where we need to change or how are we doing with what God has called us to do. And so I encourage you this afternoon, in the quietness of your home, to read this passage of Scripture from Matthew's Gospel again and again and again and again. Several times, so it sinks in. And where is your spiritual life and its healthiness? Let us pray. Dear God, you called us in Jesus Christ to respond to the needs of the world. Sometimes we slip and we get consumed with other things and we miss that. Let your Holy Spirit flow across these words in this passage from Matthew and in our hearts, that we might do an honest wellness check of where we're doing okay and should be doing better, or where we're missing the mark and need to change. That together in the power of your Spirit, we might, in fact, serve you more faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's join in singing with the joyful singers.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs about his praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
Sing, here I raise.
And here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. 'Cause Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, here to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood.
No to grace,
no to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be.
Let thy goodness
like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, Here is my heart, Lord. Take and seal it for thy.